Hi, my name's Courtney Doctor, and I'm the Director of Women's Initiatives at the Gospel Coalition. My friends and I lovingly refer to the women we see once a year at TGCW as our camp friends, because the time we enjoy together at a conference feels just like a week at camp. And I want to encourage you to invite your camp friends, the people you want to sit beside as you listen to great teaching, worship, stay up late chatting about theology and life, and just have fun. And if you don't have camp friends to bring, come and meet some new ones. The final price increase is on May 8th. This is your last chance to save on your registration. Sign up at tgcw24.org. I really hope to see you there. That's tgcw24.org.
You're listening to TGC Q&A, a podcast from the Gospel Coalition Podcast Network. This is a new series about faith and work. In this six-week series, we will focus on some of the most common questions about faith, work, and Christianity. On today's episode, you'll hear from Missy Wallace as she answers important questions regarding the affirmation of goodness in the workplace. Missy Wallace oversees the Global Field Facing Advisory and Operations Services as Managing Director of Redeemer City to City. In addition, she also leads City to City's Global Faith and Work Initiative. So we'll start with the first question. Why does faith and work matter to the church?
Thank you so much for asking this. And a lot of people have asked me, why does faith and work matter? And I think the easy version is because it is where people spend the majority of their working hours. And so if the gospel changes everything, I think we believe the gospel changes everything, then it must therefore change how we think about our work. And there's a really interesting survey done by Gallup. It's called the Gallup Worldwide Survey. And in the survey, they tried, Gallup did survey work across 160 countries, developed and developing, rural, urban, rich, poor, professional workers, more blue collar workers, to see if there were any themes. They called this survey, What the Whole Wide World is Thinking. And what they found in this survey, Gallup themselves say is the largest finding in the history of Gallup. And they say that what they found is that what people care more about than love, safety, and security, no matter where they live, no matter what their context is a good job. And so if you think of that, people care more about their work than about security, then, as they say, that changes everything for world leaders, right? And so when you translate that to the work of the church, if what people really care about is their work, and sure, on Wall Street, caring about your work might be, you know, bordering on idolatry with, you know, self-authentication, et cetera, versus someone in a developed country maybe cares about their work for survival. So it might be different reasons you care about your work. But if you care about your work this much, then it is an on-ramp for pastors to show how heart change matters. It is an on-ramp to show how the gospel impacts this pain point in your life. It is an on-ramp for sanctification opportunities, but it also then becomes an off-ramp for how your people or how laity or how the congregants go out into the world and to love peaceful places and things to life and do what Christ has asked for us. So I think it's so important because it's both an on-ramp to heart change. It's an on-ramp to bring people to the gospel. It's an on-ramp for sanctification and an off-ramp for city impact and for loving people, places, and things to life.
How does faith and work pertain to redemption?
I think it's interesting to think of work as it follows the biblical narrative arc. And so, you know, whether you want to call it a three-part, four-part, or five-point-part gospel, you know, a lot of people think that work started after the fall and that we did, but in reality, we were created to work. And so the very first line of the very first chapter of Genesis is, and in the beginning, he created. And so God is a worker from the very first line of our scriptural texts. And then it goes on to say, and then he created you He created man and woman in his image, right? So if we are in his image and he was a worker, then we were created to work. And so a lot of people think that work has to do with after the fall, but in reality, it was created pre-fall, created to work. We were made to work. And so then you go on to be like, okay, so why is it so hard? Well, it's part of the fall. And so everything is part of the fall on our creation at this time. And so we are broken. Our work is broken. The systems in our work are broken. And so our work is toil. But Jesus came back and he invited us in, right, to be the fellowship of priests with him, the believers on mission with him. And so we are here to think about that kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're in this already, but not yet. And so we get to see the work through the lens of what it could be in the new heaven and the new earth, right? And so if you think of the new heaven and the new earth, not just as us all sitting on a cloud, but if you think about we've been created to work and we will be most likely working in the new heaven and the new earth, then how are we, you know, kind of Jesus, Lord of all, vice regents now? And so it's thinking about every industry and what its creational goodness is and what its brokenness is. Think about every individual interaction. How can we be a restorative presence at work? And really thinking about how is our work a place for not only individual heart change, but being a restorative presence in community, as well as pushing against darkness in our industry. And so there's really a holistic version of faith and work that tells us the gospel changes everything. You know, our scripture tells us it changes everything, but it's living into it as Jesus's vice regents, looking towards the new heaven and new earth. How does it change everything? How does it change my heart? How does it change the way I engage my community? How does it change the way I see my industry and push against darkness in my industry?
The next question is, what are some practical ways we can live out goodness regardless of the industry that we're in?
Practically at the heart level, it means thinking about your sin in your work. And so it's letting the gospel use your work as a place to sanctify you. And so I know in a lot of the programming we do, we have someone take a situation in their work environment where they've committed, you know, what one would consider a small sin. You know, I say this tongue in cheek, a throwaway sin, right? So maybe you just kind of snapped at someone and your day went on, or maybe you were really jealous in a staff meeting that you didn't get the credit. But your day went on. Maybe nobody even saw your sin. Maybe you wouldn't even think of it when it's time to confess. It was so small. And then we get them to take that sin and start peeling back the roots of it. What were you looking for in that moment? What did you need? Why? Oh, well, I did that because I thought it would be a better work product. Well, why did you do that? Well, why did you do that? And a lot of times what you'll get back to is that some underlying root kind of total depravity, if you want to say, was driving that, that you wanted influence, that you wanted affirmation, that you wanted security, that you wanted control. And so practically, I'd say the first place to start is our own hearts. So let's look at our own brokenness in this. And let's look at how we need to be sanctified and grown and what the scriptures say about that. So the first time I did this, I realized I'd forwarded an email, had a real good reason for forwarding it. But there was, if I really peeled it back, there was a hidden agenda. And what the hidden agenda was I wanted to be the hero of the story. I wanted to be the hero. I wanted the credit. I wanted to be the boss's pet, right? And so what was really going on with that is idolatry. And so then, you know, practically we can look at the scriptures and we can realize that we are wired to want to get affirmation because we want to please our Lord and Father. But when we twist it, it becomes idolatry, right? So that's kind of step one of practicality is let's always look at our own hearts first. Step two of practicality is how are we a restorative presence in our community? And so are we looking out for the underdog? How are we thinking about competitors? How are we thinking about suppliers? How are we looking for who is being hurt in our relationships at work? Are we acting transactionally Are we actually loving the people that God has put us right into community with for 8, 10, 12 hours a day? It's really interesting if you think about how do I love my competitors, especially when you're in the business world, or church world too. How do I love the church on the other side of the street that I'm worried is getting some of my sheep, right? So how am I loving my competitors? How am I loving people in my supply chain? If you're in business and you're in a supply chain and you think about you're trying to maximize profits, that might mean you're trying to really extort some things out of your supply chain. How can you think about that differently? And then if you go to the world level, I really think of that more at the, in this context, at the industry level. Okay. So how do you think about your industry and why God might have created your industry? Why might your industry be good? And so here we get the ministry people. You guys know your industry is good, right? But you might be a little suspect about banking. Well, is banking good? Well, I would opine that most every industry has a creational goodness in it. And then most every industry has some darkness. So maybe we should talk about ways to find that creational goodness and push against that darkness.
How do you affirm goodness in the darkness of the workplace?
I'm 54 years old, and I think I was 43 before I understood that there wasn't an A team and a B team of workers for God. And by that, I mean, I thought there was an A team, that the ministry people were on the A team, and I wasn't near holy enough for that. The B team was the helping professions. So education, healthcare, C team, corporate, D team, like lawyers and venture capitalists and investment bankers, right? And I'd spent a lot of my career on the D team, and I had made a conscious decision to move to what I thought was the B team. Then a long circuitous story that we won't go into today that involved a sick child for 4 years and a bunch of theology books, I realized that I had totally misunderstood the hierarchy of work. And that really it's only an A team. It's only an A team. So if we believe that God created these various spheres in his world and that he asked us to go out and create flourishing, which is kind of a paraphrase of the cultural mandate when he said, go out, take dominion. He really is that. If you look at this in the various languages, he really is saying, I put my image in you. Now go out and create flourishing. Be fruitful and multiply doesn't just mean have children. It's like create this world, create flourishing, bring this world into flourishing. So then you have to believe that he has some sovereignty over banking emerging, insurance emerging, advertising emerging, professional sports emerging. So let's take banking, because I think banking is one that it's really easy to see how it extorts. It's really easy to see how it leaves behind, how maybe it gets associated with greed. So what is its creational goodness? So, okay, well, let's talk about things got real chaotic when you need to trade goats for pencils, right? And so if you start multiplying that and you start thinking, okay, how do we create an efficient model for redistribution of resources, right? And then you think, wow, well, God's a redistributor of resources, right? God is modeled redistribution of resources. And so if the creational goodness of banking is to redistribute resources from those who have a lot to those who don't have many, banking has a creational goodness. And if God shows order and fairness, banking has a creational goodness of redistributing resources in a fair and orderly way. Now, banking, and I worked in banking for a long time. Now, banking has some problems, right? Some people are left behind. They can't access the resources. Some would say some people are paid significantly in ways that encourage greed. Some would say that, I can go down a list. There's actually if you guys want access to this, there's a very good article on the creational goodness and brokenness of banking on the Theology of Work website. Go there and search finance. So if you take your industry and you sit down with others in your industry or alone and you say, what creational goodness is in my industry, right? So in the arts, creativity, showing God's goodness, through new ways, showing God's order. Music, a beautiful written symphony, shows God's order, right? It makes you cry. You feel in your heart that there is something good here that you cannot describe. Then you can look at the music industry. You can see the need for credit, the need for notoriety, the need for fame. You can see all these things, right? So I think our job as believers is to understand our industry, to be faithful presence in our industry, and to counterculturally push against the darkness that develops in our industry. It's the fall. It's a broken system. It's like the healthcare. Anybody who has sat with anybody in a hospital in the last 6 years can know that every person in that hospital can act perfectly, but the system is broken. So the way that the three-player network is set up, where it's not the payer making the that's the one receiving the healthcare, it's got some messed up incentives, right? And so anybody who works in healthcare, which happens to be my husband, can tell you that there are some systemic problems that exist, right? Push against them. Anyone that's been involved in kind of the racial equity movement in the last year, they can look at some of the broken systems that have held certain employees behind in corporate work compared to others. Let's push against that. Right. So that's what I mean by pushing against brokenness while still seeing, affirming, and loving the creational goodness of an industry. We can push against brokenness without throwing the baby and the bathwater out.
How can we think about redemptive ways to do business?
What if every single Christian worked in formal vocational ministry? Who is out there shining the light in the darkness? Who is the salt? Who's the salt and the light, right? We must have Christians thinking about redemptive ways to do business, redemptive ways to do advertising, redemptive ways to do insurance, redemptive way to do the arts, right? We need Christians thinking about these things. Yes, your work matters very, very much. And if you're not in, formal vocational paid ministry. Another thing I think it does for people is it frees them. There's a theological term called common grace. And my kind of easy way of thinking about and explaining common grace is that the good work that comes out of everyone is from God, whether they realize it's from God or not. It's the image, the good work that comes out of everyone is the image of God in them, whether they want to realize it or not. So it gets down to, I think it frees people to fully embrace non-believers and their good work in a really affirming way. And, you don't have to be a Christian to push against the darkness. A non-Christian can see the darkness too. It kind of gets down to if you had, cancer, do you want the Christian surgeon taking your cancer out? Or do you want the person who knows the very most about surgery of this kind of cancer taking your cancer out? And the answer is the second. And you can feel fantastic about that because it's the image of God in that person giving them the skill and the wisdom to take that cancer out, whether they acknowledge it or not. So I really like too that understanding faith and work theology gives you a freedom to affirm and love others' work, which then also may end up drawing them to the gospel. So I think it creates natural evangelism opportunities when they see you affirming creational goodness and pushing against darkness, even if you might not be using those theological terms.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Faith and Work series on TGC Q&A. For more gospel-centered resources within our network, go to tgc.org/podcasts.